And we have a little green light. That means it's working. Good morning, everybody. It really is a pleasure to be with the saints here in Cessna today. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. I am understanding that at the present time you're going through the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the special importance that is given to the Apostle Paul. The only logical thing to do as we're going to eventually, bear with me this morning, as we eventually get to discuss the Apostle Paul, the only logical place to start is in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Genesis 1:1, where we read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that we can come this morning together as saints and study your perfect, holy, unfallible Word of God. We thank you for giving that to us. As we take the time this morning to study your Word, may the things that are said and done bring honor and glory to your name, and we ask that it would edify us and help motivate us to be the ambassadors for Jesus Christ that we should be. We thank you for that. Through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Just having a conversation with David a little while ago about how few people there really are that understand the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We were discussing something here that we, my wife, daughter, and I were part of a little better than a year ago. We were at a funeral of a neighbor friend of ours, who I rejoice was saved, and I'm very pleased that he saved. He died at a very young age. I think he was 61, 62, somewhere in that range. But when we had gone to the funeral, we sat and we listened to this message, and about 95% of it was spot on. It was right on. And I was sitting in there, and I was sitting in the chair in the funeral home going to myself, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now hit it home, hit it home, hit it home." And guess what? There was no message of the cross. 95% of the way, but there was no mention of the cross at all at the end. And there were people that evidently thought that they were saved by the message that they heard while they were there. But unfortunately, with no message of the cross, is there salvation? No, there is not. I remembered in that conversation, they made it 95% of the way, but you need to give the whole thing. You got to mention Calvary. You got to mention the importance of Jesus Christ. And I remember, as a side note, because I had mentioned this to the church in Altoona before, there was this, just as an example, this one time, my favorite football team is the Pittsburgh Steelers, all right? Sorry, Dan Gross. I like the Packers too, but I love the Steelers. There was this one time, this Pittsburgh Steeler, on a kickoff, caught the ball down by the end zone, and he started running. I mean, he made some sparkling moves. Really sparkling moves. And he was running and running, and finally he blew by the other team. He was running down toward the end zone, and he was getting so excited he started pounding on his chest as he was running to the end zone. He took the ball like this, and he spiked the ball, and guess where he was? Literally, the 2-yard line. That ball hit off the ground, and he looked and he realized he wasn't in the end zone yet. The ball started rolling. All the Steelers ran after the ball. The ball rolled out of the end zone. Guess what? In pro football, touchback, the other team got the ball on the 20-yard line at that time. It's a 25-yard line now. That man ran 98% of the way. But guess how many points he got? In the gospel. As we present the message that Paul has given us, you need to go 100% of the way. You need to go the whole way. 95, 98, 99.5% don't cut it. We need to present the gospel, and we need to be clear. Because that message that is given at Calvary saves you, gives you the gift of eternal life, and then allows you at that point to rightly divide so that you can come to a clear understanding and appreciation of what we've been given in Christ. So let's do it. Enough said there. In Genesis chapter 1, we see something very, very important that the majority of the body of Christ doesn't see. There are two divisions that are set in Genesis chapter 1, isn't there? There is... I love that. You can just write on that. That's so awesome. We used to do this as kids, and Mom and Dad used to get mad at us. There are two areas. There is a division set in Scripture. There is... heaven? If you can read my writing, good luck with that. And earth. You know, it's listed that way for a reason. There's a division set in the Word of God. Two realms. God created heaven, and He created earth. Used to be at one time, there was, as I started to begin seeing the ministry as it is set in the Word of God, there are those that have, and I'm not picking on these people, it's fine, they have this chart up, and they say there are seven dispensations listed in God's Word. This. Okay. Guess how many times in Scripture it's written that there are seven dispensations in God's Word. I'll give you a hint. It's less than one. Okay? And I'll tell you up front right now. When I ask a question today, I don't ask hard questions. You know why I don't ask hard questions? Because if they were hard, I couldn't answer them. Okay? I ask easy questions. There's no place in the Word of God where God says through the writer there are seven dispensations listed in the Word of God. The word dispensation is in the Word, but it doesn't say about seven. There's a division set in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created what? Heaven and earth. There are two realms with which God is dealing. One is heaven, one is earth. Period. There are so many people today that look and they say, what's God doing? Well, here's the thing. Look at what realms with which He dealt with. In Genesis 1, it says there are two. One is heaven, one is earth. That's where God deals. Heaven and earth. If you want to find out what God is doing, find out what realm He's dealing with at a specific time. I hope I was clear with that. It's so important, I'll say it again. If you want to find out what God is doing, look at those two realms, find out which one He's dealing with at a certain specific time, and focus on that. Now, in Genesis 1, verse number 2, we see something as to where God's focus is immediately drawn to. Genesis 1, verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So right away in Genesis 1, 2, where is God's focus? It's either on heaven or it's on earth. Which one is He focusing on? On the earth. Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. We see God begins focusing right away in verse number 2. Verse number 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We'll stop there. Beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2, we see God's focus is on the earth. And everything from this point on here, we see God's focus is totally on the earth. He creates light. He divided the light from the darkness. The light he called day, the darkness he called night. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let us divide the waters from the waters. And he made the firmament and divided the waters that were under the firmament of the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the day, evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Where's land? Is it in the heaven or on the earth? See, I told you, I don't ask tough questions, right? I really don't. Because if I didn't, I couldn't answer the question. Here we see very clearly that God is dealing exclusively, his focus here is on the earth. And what we're going to notice for an extended period of time here is that there is an entire focus on the earth, completely and entirely. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. Genesis 1, verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the heaven. Oh, wait a minute, it doesn't say that. Replenish what? The earth. And subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and everything that moveth upon the earth. Here in Genesis 1, again, we see the creation of man. Male and female created he them. We see in Genesis 2 that he forms man out of the dust of the what? Ground. What's ground? Earth. God's focus here in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, is totally here on the earth. Now, with that in mind, go to Genesis chapter 3. We see the entrance of Satan, the serpent. And he's very subtle. He's a sneaky guy. It says in Genesis 3, verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Where's field, by the way? Earth. Which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed themselves fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Here in Genesis chapter number 3, we see the entrance of Satan. And Satan was smart. He was subtle. He went up and deceived Adam and Eve. And he said, yeah, he questioned the Lord of God. Yeah, hath God said, did he really say this? And Eve naturally botched the word of God. And said, not only am I not allowed to eat it, I'm not allowed to touch it. Did God say he wasn't allowed to touch it? No. Could they have touched it? Yeah, they were allowed. Just don't eat it. He subtly tripped Adam and Eve, and they fell into sin. And from this point on, all of humanity at the moment of conception is in sin. Every one of them, with the exception, of course, of Jesus Christ. He was perfect in every way without sin. They fell in sin. But the question I'm going to ask here, where is the focus? Is it on heaven or is it on earth? Where was the Garden of Eden? Where? It's on the earth. It was pleasant to the eyes, but looked good. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life is what happened here, by the way. Satan tricked them and got them to fall. But God's focus at this point in time was entirely on the earth. And Satan knew that and tricked Adam and Eve. He made the earth look pleasant, made it look good. Don't you want to be as gods, knowing good and evil? And man fell in sin. When man fell in sin, the entire focus that was going on here as of this point was on the earth. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he them, male and female created he them. And he blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they were created. In Genesis chapter number 5, God lists the lineage of Adam and Eve. All their babies. And all those babies, where were they born? Where? On the earth. Where's God's focus? On the earth. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the what? The daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they chose them wise of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and the days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great where? In the earth. Where is God's focus? On the earth. At this time here in Genesis chapter 6, the focus is entirely on the earth. The sons of God, the angelic host that went after and believed the lie that Satan propagated, went and saw the daughters of men, looked at those women and thought they were pretty cute. They had a relationship and they had babies. And as a result of that, the seed of man was polluted by these giants. And notice what God had to say about this whole entire situation. Look at verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil how often? Continually. You want to see what condition man is in as a result of falling into sin? When Adam and Eve partook of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and they took that fruit that they were instructed not to, they fell into sin. And at that point in time, the imaginations of their heart is evil on a continuous basis. Mankind would love to teach you, oh, you're really not that bad. Oh, yes, we are. The imaginations of our heart is only evil how often? Continually. You know, man would love to say, oh, we're really not that bad. I remember one time in a conversation with my sister said, oh, you know, man's okay. We're really not. Our heart is good. No, it's not. No, it isn't. Why do you think Christ had to die? Right? The wages of sin is? And did Adam and Eve die? Are we all going to die at some point? The imagination of the heart is only evil on a continuous, constant basis. And as a result, go down to verse 8 of chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. There was a good guy here. He and his family. The man's name was Noah. He, his wife, and his kids and their wives were top-notch. I want you to notice something, though. It says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Do you know what perfect in his generations means? Their seed wasn't polluted. Think what we read here just a little bit ago. The sons of God, the angelic host, look and see the daughters of men, and they're going to go down to pollute the seed. They knew God promised in Genesis chapter 3 a Savior. And you know what they thought? We're going to go down, we're going to pollute that seed, we're going to have babies with these women. And we're going to corrupt the seed. Noah was a just man. Does that mean that Jonah, does that mean that Noah was not a sinner? He absolutely is a sinner. Absolutely. He was a good guy, but it said that he was perfect in his generations. You know the lineage that you read throughout the scripture here, especially in the Old Testament? This guy begat this, and this guy, and this guy, and this guy. His seed was not polluted by the angelic host. That's how he was perfect in his generations. And he makes, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Violence. Is the earth still filled with violence, by the way? All you have to do is turn the radio on or the television set and get depressed. You look and see all the goofballs and all these things that they're doing. The earth is filled with violence. That's sin. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. We won't read the rest. You know this neat little story, right? Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And I've heard that it possibly has taken Noah about 150 years to build this thing. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. But it took him a long time. Man was filled with violence. So God made a plan, and his plan to destroy man, except for Noah and his family. And through Noah and his family, God's hope was for them to replenish the earth. Let's just plan. Noah's family was for. What is God's focus here? It's still the earth. God made two realms in Genesis 1, chapter, verse number 1. God created heaven and the earth. Beginning in Genesis 1, verse number 2, God's focus is on the earth. With Noah and the ark, where he had his family and all those animals on there, guess where God's focus was? On the earth. I repeat, if you want to find out where God is operating, he's operating in one of two realms, heaven or earth. And here, as of this point in time, God's focus is on the earth. Man fell. Adam and Eve had babies. They had their lineage listed in Genesis chapter 5, and they failed. So what does God do? I got a plan. Noah, through you and your family, you're perfect in your generations. I still want to send the Messiah. I want to send God incarnate in the flesh. Our plan is to use you. Build an ark. God's focus is on the earth. Go to Genesis chapter 9. Verse number 1. Basically, in one verse, we're just going to repeat what I just stated here a second ago. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the heavens. The earth. Where's God's focus? Earth. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Now man thought he was smart. He came up with another idea. Genesis 11, verse number 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto what? Heaven! Hey guys, I've got a great idea. Let's all live in one area and let's build a tower that might reach unto heaven. God told man through Noah in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 1, I want you to replenish the earth. You have the whole earth. I want you to go out there. I want you to go out and I want you to replenish the earth. Man said, nah, let's all live in one place. Won't that be great? I got an idea. Let's build a tower that's built and goes up into heaven. Yeah, what a great idea. What do you think God had to think about that? Not so much, did he? Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, this people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So God scattered them across from thence upon the face of all the what? Earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the what? I'm beginning to catch a pattern here, aren't you? Where's God's focus here? He told these guys, I want you to scatter abroad. I want you to go across. I want you to replenish the earth. Man said, no, we got a better idea. We're all going to live in one area and we're going to build a tower that might reach to heaven. God said, no. I told you, I want you to scatter a broad-faced planet, and I want you to focus on the earth. That's where I'm dealing with you. I'm not dealing with you in heaven. Wow, what do you know? It sounds like today, doesn't it? Just as a side note, where's our focus supposed to be? Heaven. Where does man want to focus? The thoughts of man's only evil, how often? Man and his genius does everything the opposite God wants him to do. The thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. Go to Genesis 12. Surprise, surprise. Man failed in Genesis chapter 6 when the sons of God went into the daughters of men and polluted the seed. Man's thoughts were only evil continually. They failed. God said, okay, come up with another plan. We'll have Noah. Noah, I want you and your kids to have babies. I want you to replenish the earth. Man gets the genius idea of, no, let's not do that. Let's all go to one place. We'll have a big city there. It'll be great. We'll build a tower that might reach to heaven. God says, no, 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 no. And scattered them abroad, the face of the earth, confounded the language that we wouldn't understand one another. So God comes up with another plan. Verse 1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. What's land? Where is it found? Don't ask tough questions, right? I will make of thee a great nation. There are nations on the earth. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God has two realms, Genesis 1, verse number 1, the heaven and the earth. In Genesis chapter 12, guess where God's focus is? Still on the earth. Beginning in Genesis 1, 2, God's focus was on the earth. And up here, he's going to start a brand new thing again. And his focus is still on the earth. Man's focus was to be completely and entirely here on the earth. And we can see, as we continue to go through the Word of God, that that pattern continues. Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what shall thou give me, seeing that I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. And he said unto him, go forth abroad, and said, look now to heaven, and tell the stars, if thou shalt be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this, what? Land to inherit it. Abram said, Lord, I'm getting to be an old guy. Babies are getting to be pretty tough, and I have no offspring. This guy that lives in my house is going to be my heir. Lord said, no. Your wife's going to have a baby. And it is he who is going, through his seed, is the nation Israel going to grow. I have given you this land for an inheritance. The focus is here on the earth, completely and entirely on the earth. Go to, no, I don't want to skip that. There was a verse here I was going to skip. Go to Genesis 17. Verse number 15. And God said to Abram, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt call her names not, I'm going to try that again. Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she will be the mother of what? Nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abram fell on his face and laughed and said unto his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make of him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time next year. See, God keeps his promises. Man doesn't. I can make you a promise and fail you within 5 minutes. But God told him, I am going to make of you a great nation. Focus on the earth. And what we find is that God's focus all through the entire Old Testament is on the earth. Look at Genesis chapter 25. Verse number 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Remember he talked about Isaac just a little while ago? Abraham, you're going to have a boy. His name's going to be Isaac. Okay, where did I leave off here? Verse 21. The Lord entreated him of Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And he said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 2 nations are in thy womb, and 2 manner of people shall be separate from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were delivered to be fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare him. Here we find that she had 2 babies. And the Lord said to him very specifically, the elder shall serve the younger. The oldest will serve the younger one. Most often, by the way, today, what happens? Everybody places focuses on the firstborn, don't they? Lord says, oh, no, 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 it's not going to be what you guys want. The elder, the oldest, will serve the younger. It was through Isaac that the nation Israel came through. Just a side note. We always, oh, the firstborn, he's firstborn, she's firstborn. Oh, so what? Lord says, no, 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 I don't care. I'm doing it my way because I'm in charge. The oldest, Esau, will serve the younger, Isaac. And out of Isaac, through Jacob, Isaac, Jacob, became a fabulous, fantastic, beautiful nation. The nation Israel. And by the way, as a side note, where's Israel? Is it in the heaven or in the earth? Where's God's focus? On the earth. God created two realms. The heaven and the earth. Beginning in Genesis 1, verse number 2, God's focus was entirely on the earth. Went that way with Adam and Eve. It went that way with Noah. Even though the Tower of Babel, he scattered man across the face of the whole earth. Earth. Then came along Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. And he had a baby. And they had a baby. And the focus is completely and entirely on the earth. Through all these people, we're mentioning these people for a name, a reason, okay? Along came a guy. You just may have heard of his name before. Usually, we're coming up on Easter now. Usually at some point in time, this movie comes on TV. Old Charlton Heston gets to play this guy. His name was Moses. You ever hear about Moses? Was Moses a fabulous guy? Was Moses a sinner? Oh yeah, he was a sinner to the point where he wasn't even allowed to go into the land. Subject for another day. Through all this lineage, Isaac, all these people we just mentioned, along comes this guy. This guy's name is Moses. Moses, go to Exodus chapter 3. Boy, I gotta get moving. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him out of a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight with a bush that was not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. The introduction, here comes Moses. What a fabulous individual, wasn't he? Absolutely incredible man. He did so many amazing things for Israel. We would be here for weeks just talking about it. We won't take the time to go through a whole lot more about Moses here and discuss the things that he had accomplished. Great guy. But given to Moses was something that was very, very important that unfortunately most of the church, the body of Christ, is focusing on even as we're studying the Word of God right now. Moses was given this thing called the Law. And in this law, here comes the tough question again, right? Where was God's focus? The heaven or the earth? The earth. Let's go look at that law. Go to Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter number 19. Verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, which man failed miserably, like he did every other time, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the what is mine? The earth! Where is God's focus? On the earth! In Genesis 1, verse number 1, God created the heaven and the earth. And here with Moses, in this law that he was given to this great people, the people of the nation Israel, was a law where God says in this law, in this covenant, all the earth is mine. How much studying have we done as of this point about the things in heaven? Hint, less than one, right? We haven't touched the heaven places yet. We will, not yet. Okay? And in this law, go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy, the word Deuteronomy, referring to the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at this law. Where in this law is God's focus? The answer is the earth. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the heavens. Oh, wait, I might have misread that, sorry. The earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Wow, in this law, these people would be blessed, provided they could keep that law. Blessed shall they be in the city. Blessed shall they be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the ground. Where's ground? On the earth. And the fruit of the cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Where are sheep, and where are kine, and where are cattle? On the earth. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I love that verse. Blessed will you be whether you're coming or going. You ever hear, coming or going, you're going to get it? That's what God's promising here. Whether you're coming or going, if you follow the law, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you all these blessings. What a deal. All you got to do is keep the law. You know, there's 613 laws, commandments, and ordinances. All you have to do is keep them all, and God's going to bless them. How well did that go? Not so good. Back in Genesis chapter 1, we were given instruction. Adam and Eve was given instruction for one thing. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How well did they do with that? There are 612 more here. You know what the law proved, by the way? And Paul teaches us that man's a what? The thoughts of man's heart's only evil. How often? Down from verse number 1 down to verse number 14 are the blessings that Israel is going to receive provided they keep the law. Beginning at verse number 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city. Cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the land, the increase of the kine, the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Whether you're coming or going, if you don't follow the law, you're going to get it. You're going to get it, Israel, if you don't follow the law. Just make a comment here. Verse 1, verse 14. Here's all the blessings you're going to get, Israel, provided you follow the law. Beginning in verse number 15 through the rest of the chapter. Somebody look for me real quick and tell me how many verses are in that chapter. 68. From verse 15 to verse number 68, guess what they're going to get? Cursed if they don't keep the law. Here's 14 verses. Here's the blessings you're going to get. Here's
54, that if you don't follow the law, you're going to get it. Do you think that would be motivation to keep that law? You would think it should be. And how well did they do? They failed miserably. And by the way, just as another note, do you think we would have done any better? In my former life, I was a Roman Catholic. Now, under that system, there is a law. It's perverted, but there is a law. Guess how well I was able to keep the perverted law? Joey's shaking his head. No, you're right, Joey. I failed. Every month I would go into that confessional. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was back in 1984. I'm in trouble. He's going to be there a long time if he wants to listen to my sins, man. But I would go in every month and I would give a list of all those sins that I could remember. And I specify what I could remember that I did. And the next month I went in and guess what I said? The exact same ones. I was afraid when I went in that priest would know me just because I did the same sins. I mean, I lived in a small town. He recognized my voice anyway, I'm sure. But and it baffled me that I couldn't keep it. I really went in with a stupid thought that, I left there, I did my act of contrition and all that like I was supposed to do and did all the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers, which don't mean anything, by the way. You know that. I left there, I'm never going to do it again. And sometimes it was 5 minutes later, I was doing it. You know why I couldn't keep the perverted law? Because I am a sinner. Just as a side note, Israel was given a law. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the law. There is not one flaw in that law. Not one. You know who the flaw is? Me, you, Israel, in this specific instance. They could not do it. Neither could we. And I'm a perfect example of that. And why are we going to talk all about Israel here for this moment? Through the nation Israel, in Genesis chapter 3, God makes a promise to man. That through man will come a Redeemer. Guess where the Redeemer came from? What nation? Israel. If you would, go to Isaiah chapter 7. Getting everything but the verse I want. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Here in Isaiah chapter 7, through this great nation, a nation Israel, whose focus was entirely on the earth. Under that law, their focus was entirely on the things of the earth. They were given a land. They're promised a land where they're going to dwell. And on this land will come forth eventually a kingdom, a great, magnificent, wonderful kingdom, where the King of Israel is going to sit upon the throne of his father David. And all of this focus was completely and entirely on one area that's located here on the earth. Israel's Messiah. His focus is on the earth. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's guaranteed, it's ironclad, it's gonna happen. There's going to be a king. Israel, there's a baby coming. And this baby, this child, is going to be a son. And there's going to be a redeemer given to Israel, where Israel is going to have a kingdom and a throne where he's going to sit upon it. And he's going to judge and rule the people there on the earth.
Well, I almost fell down. That's not good. Almost fell down on the earth. When I fall down on the earth at this age, it ain't good. You might come up here and pick me up.
God's focus is completely and entirely here on the earth. And all this is coming to this. When Jesus Christ was here, there's a reason everybody refers to this as the earthly ministry of Christ. Because where is he? On the earth. And everything he deals with in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they want to call it the New Testament. Okay, fine, you can call it that. But isn't that fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy? For unto us a child is born. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, guess who was born? And on this whole entire thing, the focus is completely and entirely on the earth. Go to Luke chapter 1.
Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob, Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there shall be how much end? No end.
Remember we read a little while ago, God promised without question, without hesitation, that that kingdom would last forever? There'll be no end. And where is this kingdom? On the earth.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And beginning in Genesis 1, verse number 2, God's focus is on the earth.
When Jesus Christ ultimately is conceived and is born, and he walks on the earth, over in Israel, where God promised that his seed would come through the people of the nation Israel over the throne of his father David. All of that is focused here on the earth. Think about this. When Jesus Christ was here, did he perform miracles? Oh my. Were they miracles in the heavenly places or here on the earth? The earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. The devil knew this, by the way. Go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, we see the tempting of Jesus Christ. And every time he was tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye and the pride of life. When you get 57 years old, you get a brain freeze. For a quick moment, my mind just went, boop! Can't wait to get older. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. The devil tempts Christ with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. And here's one of the things he tempted him with. Look at verse number 8. And again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Where's the world? The earth. And the glory of them. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You know what the devil said? You know what? You want the earth? You got it. From Genesis 1, verse number 2, I've noticed God's focus is completely and entirely on the earth. I can see that. It went through Adam and Eve. It went through Noah. It went through the Tower of Babel. It went through Abram and Sarah. It went through Moses. I can see now, even up until this point, every promise is here on the earth. You want the earth, Jesus? You got it. I'll give it to you. You can have it. All you got to do is fall down and worship me. Oh, Lord, plants them. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to worship the Father in heaven. You are not God. He is. Devil knew the focus was on the earth and said to Jesus, you want it? I'll give it to you. You can have it. All you got to do is worship me because I want to be God. Remember Isaiah 14? I will be like the Most. He gives him the offer and Christ shoots him down. No. They send him to Calvary. They kill him. They kill him here on the earth. He's resurrected. Go to Acts chapter 1. I gotta get moving. Acts chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Acts, chapter number 1. The focus is completely and entirely on one realm and one realm only. And that's the earth. Acts, chapter 1, verse number 6. When they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both at Jerusalem and at Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Here the focus is completely on the earth. From Genesis 1, verse number 2, all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Technically, it's Old Testament. And in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts 4, you get the idea. The focus is here on the earth. So, not a tough question. When does that all begin to change? Go to Acts chapter 9. Oh, there's so much more I wanted to go over. We'll do it another time sometime. Go into Acts chapter 7 and look at the stoning of Stephen. All focused here on the earth. But here in Acts chapter number 9, we see the beginning of a transformation. The beginning. Here comes this guy called Saul, and Saul is not a nice guy as of this point. He is nasty. Not a nice guy. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Those that follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. Okay? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from earth. Oh, I just got so used to saying earth, I said it. No, I didn't. That's a fib. I got to go to confession. No, I don't. All my sins have been forgiven. Thank God. All of a sudden, there's a light from heaven. This is signifying an amazing change is about to happen. From Genesis 1-2 up until now, the focus has been on the earth. All the blessings, all the cursings, everything, including Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry, hint, hint, was all focused on the earth. Now here comes this dude called Saul of Tarsus, who comes out and he's ready to go out and clean the rest of these little flock guys and gals and clean them up. He's going to go after them. And all of a sudden at midday, how bright is the sun at midday? Pretty bright. All of a sudden there's this light from heaven brighter than the midday sun, and there's Jesus Christ saying, "Yo, Saul!" And Saul goes, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble."
Verse 4, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?"
Okay, what you want? I'm in trouble, I'm sorry.
"Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Saul, I'm going to have you do something. And you're going to go to the city, and I'm going to tell you there what you're going to do. Look at Acts chapter 26. We see a recount of that. Verse number 19. Now, I'll be skipping too much. Verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me with them that journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand at thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people," that's Israel, "and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the earthly vision." Heavenly vision. How about that? Signifying change is coming. Paul, I've got a job I want you to do. And believe me, you're going to do it. I have chosen you. I'm delivering you from the people, Israel, and the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And you're going to have something brand spanking new. Then you're going to offer forgiveness of sins through you, Paul. I will be giving very shortly something brand new. Never before been preached. Which, by the way, isn't that why it was called the mystery? It was kept secret. Romans 16, since the world began. go to Acts 13. Here's where she starts. Opinion above, maybe not that of the staff and management. That's okay. There are some that believe it starts in Acts 9. I personally believe it's Acts 13. But I'm not going to pick no fight with nobody. That's trivial. That's nothing to fight about. That's nothing. It really isn't. There's those that want to, well, it's obviously Acts 9. Well, it's obviously Acts 13. Who cares? Has it started? Yeah? Then give it the program! Acts 13, verse 2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. You get the idea. Holy Ghost comes down and says, God promised this guy in Acts chapter 9 that there's going to be a message that he's going to deliver. It's time, guys. It's time to get going. We won't take time for time's sake. We see here where Elymas, a sorcerer, tries to stifle the message being given to a Gentile, and Paul stops him dead in his tracks and makes him blind. And Paul goes forward here in Acts chapter 13, and he said, verse 38, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all things that were justified from all things which ye could not be justified by what? Was the law of Moses important to Israel? Oh my. You see, the scribes and Pharisees try to duke it out with Jesus in his earthly ministry and saying, We have the law. And Christ says, You bunch of dummies. You can't keep your own laws. How in the world? He said, Look at me. I'm your Messiah. And they refused. So God, did man fail all those other plans? Is it a surprise that they fell that one? So God created all along. Here's a new idea. New plan, new plan, new plan. Okay. Forget about the earth for now. Here I am from heaven. I've got a brand new plan I want you guys to follow. This mystery program, which was kept secret since the world began. Your focus has changed. Israel is set aside. Both Jew and Gentiles are made one in the church, the body of Christ. Those believers who have trusted the finished work of Jesus Christ have been given a brand new spanking message that Paul received by revelation from Jesus Christ from heaven. Paul and Barnabas here in Acts 13:2 were set aside for the ministry. And in Acts 14, look at verse number 23, or 26 rather. Let me make sure I got this right. Yep, Acts 14:26. From thence they sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God, for which work, which they what? They did it. Paul received revelation from Jesus Christ, said, I'm going to give you a brand new message. I want you to go out. I'm going to give you this message. It's coming. In Acts 13, he says, Here it is. Go get them. And Paul fulfilled that message. Wasn't his, by the way, the message in Colossians 1, verse number 25, that was his message to fulfill the word of God? Acts 14, 26, which message they fulfilled. Brand new message where Jew and Gentile are reconciled in one body. Galatians chapter 3, we're skipping a lot for time's sake, and that's fine. I'm not going to hold you here all day long. Because you're hungry and want some lasagna, right? I do. Right? Galatians chapter 3.
verse number 22. Galatians 3, verse number 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For before faith was come, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It's not the law anymore, guys. The law did but one thing, and one thing only, and that's prove that I and you and everybody else were what? Now you're justified by faith in this message that was given to the Apostle Paul. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's His life that takes preeminent. Under the law, the focus was on themselves. Whenever I tried to follow the law in the Roman Catholic Church, guess where the focus was? Me. Look at what I'm doing. Oh, I hear the body of Christ do this too. Look at what we're doing for Jesus. No! It's not you! You've put on Christ. It's Christ working in you. You're the vehicle of reconciliation of the world. Let the life of Christ work through you. It's not you. It's Christ. We've put on Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. It don't matter who you are. The message before was to the people of the nation Israel. This message is to Jew and Gentiles. It don't matter who you are, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. By the way, it says here that you've been given the Spirit, right? Let me ask you a question. Can you see the Spirit? You know why you can't see the Spirit? Because He's not of the earth. He's from where? There's been a change. Oh, there has been a change. Oh, there has been a magnificent, glorious change. And Paul knocks himself out and takes the time to not talk about this, because it's not any importance to you and I. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. As an example, we'll just go through a couple very quickly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4. But God, who is rich in His mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in earthly places in Christ Jesus. Oops, I screwed up. In heavenly places. Where is God's focus? In the heavens. Where does Jesus Christ reside right now? Guess where we're seated? In Christ, in Him, in the heavenly places. We're not of this earth. Israel cannot make that declaration. Everything was completely and entirely focused on the earth for Israel. For you and I, there's no focus on the earth. Where are we located? In the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. From Genesis 1, verse number 2, up through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All through, halfway through Acts, I'll just say it that way. The focus was on the earth. The promises were on the earth. All you got to do is keep the law and you're going to be blessed with all these earthly blessings. Now you and I through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Not through Moses, not through the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Corinthian sons, even though we knew Jesus Christ after the flesh, henceforth now we know Him no more. We don't know Him that way. You know why? Because that's not us. Where's the focus? On Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, known after the mystery program, where the church, the body of Christ, is the minister of reconciliation today. Not Israel. It's you and I. We're not spiritual Israel, guys. We're not.
Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Where's flesh and blood? See, we're not a part of it. We're not. But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Where high places? Heavens. It's the heavenly realm. Don't go there. I'm going to quote these partially. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the in the law. Were they focused on the heaven or the earth? Did they receive blessings from the heaven or the earth? Earth. Philippians 3, verse number 20. Our conversation is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through... Go there. This is too good to pass up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, that thou our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What matters? The inward man. Can you see the inward man? Because it's from the heavenly realm. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. The things on the earth. Can you see that? Yes. But at the things which are not seen. You've been given life in Christ. Can you see that? You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Can you see that? You have God the Father living inside you. You're the temple of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are living inside you and I as members of the church, the body of Christ. Can you see that? They're not seen. The rich things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? The focus has changed. Paul in Romans 11:13 says that he's the apostle of the Gentiles and he magnifies his office. He has nothing to do with Moses. Nothing. He recognizes Moses as a great guy, but he knows he's not a part of Moses because he was given a message by direct revelation from Jesus Christ from the heavenly realm. And he says, my message is different. I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office not because I'm anybody special, but because he is. Percent of the body of Christ don't see that. They don't. And they don't wanna. Please make sure you wanna. Because it makes all the difference. Absolutely, positively, everything. Because that's who we are. Most of the body of Christ running around, oh Lord, I want to do this for you. Please give me this. He's already given you new life in Christ. What else do you want? Don't look at the things which are seen. I want a new car. Can I see a new car? I want a new house. Can I see a new house? I want a good wife. I want a good husband. I want to have good kids. Can you see that? That's not where our focus is. Our focus is on the message given to the Apostle Paul. And the message that he was given
when he justifiably deserved damnation in hell, as well as you and I. Let us take time and recognize the importance of the message that was given to Paul. It's good to recognize the importance message given to Moses and all that too. It is. I want you to, Paul says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. It's great to know the things about Moses and about Noah and about Adam and Eve and all that. It really is. But that's not our message. Our message was given to us by an apostle that says, I was born out of due time. And that message is a message given to Paul. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And for the majority of Genesis 1, verse number 2, through the middle part of Acts, the focus was on the earth. But that's not our focus. Our focus is on the message that was given to our apostle, the Apostle Paul. And the message that he's given, where we've been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's our realm. That's where we belong. Let's teach it. Let's propagate it. Let's do everything we can to show it to a world that doesn't understand it, and unfortunately the majority doesn't want a part of. But there's somebody out there that wants to know. Did you? I did. And I am grateful that they gave it and showed it to me. And I thank them for that. So let's teach the gospel. And it's the message that's given to Paul, our apostle. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time we had to study your word this morning. We thank you that we, as Gentiles, have been given a message through our apostle Paul. May we, out of respect and honor to you, be the ambassadors for Christ that we should be. And as we do those things, may we not give the honor and glory to ourselves, but give all respect, honor, and glory to you. For it is your word that is working through us. We magnify your name. For it is through Jesus Christ's most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.